This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hold on. First, what's going on now? First, welcome into the show. We're coming to you. There it is, finally. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage, powered by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're already off to a terrible start. Yeah, I'm just going to bring the boys in now. What the hell? I came in this morning, and I mean like 20 seconds, like as the music's going, I start cussing. Tom goes, "What's the matter, Ken? What's the problem?" One of these K-cups in this bag just exploded. It's all over the room. Oh, my God.
You throwing the bag around or something?
No, I sat it down, and I don't know what I sat on top of it. It must have been one of these bottles of water here. My God.
It's a false start on the host.
Yeah, it sure does suck. By the way, I'm having problems getting into the remote desktop connection there, so you want to go ahead and take care of that. You go right on ahead. I got to bust McKeon Stones before we get going here. McKeon.
What's going on, Ken? Good morning.
What is this garbage jersey you're wearing? What is this you're wearing here? What is this?
It's a Johnny Manziel Cleveland Browns jersey.
Oh, yeah. Is this a real Cleveland Browns jersey? Because this one looks like one of those Chinese specials.
No. This is the real one. The inside of it even says dog pound.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
How much did you pay for this beaut?
About 50 hard ones, 50 bucks.
When did you buy it?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Right after the draft, whenever he was taken, I forget which draft it was.
So all you paid was 50 bucks?
Yeah. We did a massive jersey order, me
Look
and a bunch of
this.
Friends. And I wanted a Johnny Manziel Texas A&M jersey.
Oh, my God.
The company I bought it from was sold out, so I had to settle for a Johnny Manziel dog pound jersey.
Why did you do this? Did you do this knowing someday you would troll me? Is that it?
I did not, but if you want me to purchase a Johnny Manziel jersey in a larger size, I can send it to you if you'd like.
No, you do it, I'll burn it. I don't care. I'm not one of those people who get upset because people burn things like they burn jerseys. Like, I hear some hosts out there, "What are you doing? Stop with the burning of the jerseys out there." It's your money. You can burn it, you can set it on fire, you can do whatever you want to. I don't care. It's your money. You want to set it on fire, set it on fire. Antonio Brown's jerseys, right up. Odell Beckham jerseys with the Giants, set them right on fire. I don't give a damn. And if you wanted to set a Johnny Manziel jersey on fire, or a LeBron James jersey, or a James Harden jersey, or a Russell Westbrook jersey, or a Kevin Durant jersey, or whatever, you set the damn thing on fire. I don't care. I don't care what you set on fire. As long as it's not living, you can set it on fire. I don't care.
I love Johnny in college.
Well, who didn't love Johnny in college? Who didn't? Like, Alabama didn't like Johnny Manziel in college. That's it. And now the poor guy, well, I shouldn't say poor guy, but the guy goes to Canada, forces his way out of Canada, goes to the AAF. The second he gets to the AAF, they're going to get rid of the league. Okay, this is going wonderfully. He puts in $250 million. Oh, that's not enough. Maybe you shouldn't have started a football league. Hey, Vince McMahon, maybe you should draw back on that. Maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe everything else other than wrestling you shouldn't do, like movies, because they're all terrible. And like that restaurant in Times Square, which was terrible. And like the Pro Bodybuilders Association, which was weird and terrible. And the XFL the first time, which was terrible. But that's just me, because I'm sure Johnny will end up there, and I'm sure he'll shudder that one too. McKeon, you were a big Manziel fan. Can I tell you this before we move on?
Let's move.
The night he was drafted, I was hosting the draft extravaganza on the Browns radio network the night he was drafted. And let me tell you something, son.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing, old boy, over here?
The Browns draft extravaganza.
No. You don't understand. Before they got Baker Mayfield last year, everything we did was leading up to the draft because the seasons were terrible. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So many draft busts.
Exactly. So for a lot of teams, and the Jets kind of, sort of, but you really have no clue what Browns fans have gone through. So let me tell you this. For most of America, this is the downtime. You watch the other sports. You get into baseball on opening day, and there's bunting and the fun of that. I mean, the actual, like, on the sides where you see, like, the American flag logos and things like that. The bunting. Not actual bunting. But there's a lot of fun to that and March Madness and things like that. Here, we talk about the draft. That's what we got into. And what we can do to get a quarterback, even though the Browns would never take a quarterback, or it would always be like the third quarterback off the board, and it always ended up being the guy who sucked. So we dedicated, you know, I talk about this like we were in the dark ages. We dedicated, this is you record this for the 30 for 30 someday. We used to dedicate, I mean, from January, because that's usually when you fired the coach, all the way to the draft, about the draft. A little bit of baseball when LeBron was here, obviously some basketball, but there was a ton to the draft. And because that was our season. Everybody else's season happened during the season. Ours happened between January and the draft. And then we used to just hate the picks, and then they would eventually suck, and we'd do the whole thing all over again. So the night they drafted him, like, I didn't think there was going to be a real great chance that they were going to draft him. And where the studio is, McKeon is, it's on the second floor at the facility. It's a great facility. Like, I used to get mad at the players because they sucked, and they would spend a lot of money. It was very opulent. It still is very opulent. So the studio is right there at the main intersection of where everybody meets. There's the football side and the business side and the marketing side, and then there's like a main intersection where if you're coming into the upstairs, you're going to just cross it, and that's where the studio is. It's the crown jewel. It's the gem, and it's really, really nice. So we go through the first round. We're getting through the first round. They take Justin Gilbert, which that's the one. That guy, if it wasn't for Johnny Manziel, he'd be the greatest bust in Browns history. They take Justin Gilbert, and by the way, and for the record, and everybody knows this, including BuckeyeNick7 on Twitter, I wanted Odell Beckham Jr. then. McKeon, Tom, for the record, I wanted Odell Beckham Jr. for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, you got him now.
Well, we got him now, but still a couple years later. But I wanted Odell Beckham Jr. They took Justin Gilbert. They traded back, and then they took Justin Gilbert. So they take Justin Gilbert. A couple of quarterbacks come off the board, and they're sitting there at pick 22. They're getting ready for pick 22. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Some kid goes running down the hallway. It's all quiet. It's like a weird feeling in there. And the draft room is like catacorner to the studio. And some kid from around the other way goes running as fast as he can to the other side of the building, to where the non-football people are, to where the marketing is. Okay? You following me? And at that moment, because I'm standing up and I looked at everybody else, I go, oh my God, they drafted Johnny Manziel. And then my buddy Dustin, who is a great, great color analyst on ESPN2 and ESPN3, and he's got to be on regular ESPN games coming up soon. He's doing a fantastic job. He's got his sources, he's got his texts and things like that. He starts whooping it up, and it was like trying to sit on a grenade after it's gone off, because you can't tip the pick, you can't say the pick, but you know who they're going to take. And in the moment, it was mass hysteria, and that was the greatest moment of his life, and then the rest of it just went to hell.
Interesting.
It just like a firework in the sky, and then it was gone, and that was his career.
So I'm sure you remember week one when the Browns played the Jets that year. They were at the Jets,
yeah.
And Brian Hoyer was the starting quarterback for the Browns.
That was Josh. That was Josh McCown,
Josh
who was
McCown.
The starting quarterback for
and
the Browns.
And he was hurt on the first drive.
On the first drive, he was jumping into the end zone, and like Lieutenant Dan and Lieutenant Dan's family before him, he had a death wish. And Josh McCown did the helicopter. Demario Davis, who then spent a season with the Browns the next day, was the one who put the hit on Josh McCown. In came Johnny Manziel. He didn't play too terribly bad. Then people got mad at Mike Pettine because he wouldn't put in Johnny Manziel, because Johnny Manziel would not study the playbook. And anytime Johnny Manziel turned around, there were 14 or 15 guys on defense. But people didn't understand that. And then they thought that he hated Johnny Manziel, like it was a personal vendetta against Johnny, which it wasn't. He wanted Johnny Manziel to succeed, because if Johnny succeeded, then that meant that Mike succeeded.
Well, who do you take a guess? Of who was a young Jets fan in the upper level of that game when Manziel came in, and it was fearful.
It's got to be Brian McKeon.
It was, and
Oh my god!
I was donning a LaDainian Tomlinson Jets jersey that day.
We are football Eskimo brothers. We didn't even realize. 855-212-4CBS. You were donning a what jersey?
A Jets LaDainian Tomlinson jersey.
Oh, that's a good. He's still but he was a strong running back, so that was fine. You get what I'm saying?
So I'm not allowed to wear scrub jerseys, is what you're saying? You're angry at me with the Johnny Manziel jersey. I did it for you, Ken.
What do you mean?
I wore the jersey today for you, even though we're not in the same studio.
Well, that's still... Shut up! What are
you
doing?
Oh, yeah, no, we're sitting next to
you. Kayfabe, brother, damn! 855-212-4CBS. All right, but McKeon, I just had to bust your stones. Do you have any other terrible jerseys before I get into the real business of things?
Oh, how many plenty do you have?
I've been on a tear the last couple of weeks where I've worn a different jersey to work on the weekend because I feel like my jerseys are going to waste hanging up in the closet. So I've worn a plethora of terrible jerseys over the last few months. Tom could attest to that.
Sure, yeah. He has a bunch of bad ones. Wasted a lot of money.
Man alive, that's a terrible idea. All right, you guys ready to talk tournament and actual current sports? Because I'm not talking minor league Johnny Manziel anymore for the rest of the show, and hopefully for the rest of my life. Are we ready? Are we ready to go
We're
on,
ready.
Baby?
Let's rock and roll.
Folks, the NCAA tournament continues to roll on, and I will admit wholeheartedly, today I am rooting for Matt Painter, even though my TV is out over here to my right. I am still following along the best I can. Thank God the games aren't until later on this evening, so I don't have to worry about missing a second of the action, and I have your undivided attention, even though I told stories waxing on poetically about Johnny Manziel. But let me admit something to you, America, that I do hope that Matt Painter and the Purdue Boilermakers go on to win and go on to win the whole thing only because of one reason. Matt Painter was willing to come on the show. He was willing to come on the show last year. He was willing to come on the show the year before. And this was back when we were stuck from midnight or 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern on Sundays. So if Matt Painter's willing to do that, sir, you have my undivided and unquestioned loyalty as you move forward. He can be involved in a scandal, and I will still back him up. I don't know if to the likes of Rick Pitino, but I will still back him up if there's such a scandal. Not like that, but still. So I do hope that Matt Painter ends up doing well. Watching LSU Michigan State yesterday, I thought it was a beautiful moment in basketball. Let me tell you why. One, it was a gross overreaction last week, and because we didn't have a whole lot of things to get into. And I'm talking about everybody. We didn't really get into a lather over Zion the way we should have. We didn't really get going on some of the hot takery that we're starting to see now with Zion Williamson. And I'll get to that here in just a moment. And I'm going to want that clip with Zion later on because he was asked just an innocuously stupid question. And I don't know why it had anything to do with the Duke Blue Devils going into the game against Virginia Tech. However, watching Michigan State last week was an overreaction. We needed something to talk about. Tom Izzo yells at Aaron Henry. Away we go. That's what it was. And I think a lot of us, I like to call out fake outrage. But I also like to call out a fake strong take to back somebody up. I really did not. And I explained my side a couple of times. The only thing I worried about at all as I continue to clean up these coffee grounds all over the place. The thing that only worried me was that there are coaches out there, sad to say, in youth sports who might see what Tom Izzo did and use that as some sort of a reasoning. Like the way that children watch violent television, people are afraid that they will commit violent acts. Or they play violent video games, people are afraid they will commit violent acts. I'm not trying to take calls on that, but there is a fear there with some people. I fear the same with coaches. I fear the same with people who do other things in their lives, have other jobs, have other people that they have to answer to, eat a little bit of you-know-what, because we all have to at some point to get ahead. I have, you have, we all have. And they watch Tom Izzo, and a guy who has dedicated his entire life to college basketball coaching, a guy who doesn't have to work again, is certainly set for life monetarily, but also not knowing that he started out as a graduate assistant and probably made next to nothing, or maybe made nothing for that year, probably slept in another coach's basement and tried to get by on turkey sandwiches if he actually had turkey to eat at that time and the student dining hall wasn't closed. People don't realize that. People don't realize that a guy like Tom Izzo got into the game for love, and the love of the game and the love of teaching and being a part of young people's lives. And there were plenty of people who wanted to line up and give that thought. I just didn't really see anybody of any reputation on the other side. And you can tell when we're forced to have a take about something because we just don't have anything else. And that's what happened last week. And I was glad that we got past from last week and moved on to this one, because the LSU game, to me, was beautiful. LSU outmanned, outplayed, outgunned in almost every single way, fought with the specter of what's going on with their head coach over their heads, with what's going on between the tug and pull and impermissible benefits and guys on the take and even questions of their own teammates there. They rallied together and they got themselves to the Sweet 16. I have, and I always will, congratulate and give good, strong standing to good college basketball players who found a reason to continue to play. The assistant coach who gets the bump, that guy gets a lot of credit for being able to help out that basketball team. But to watch that team, and I'm serious about this, not fold, not compete, not immediately crumble under what's gone on with all the circumstances with Will Wade, not immediately go the other way, I think is a credit to young men. I think it's a credit to them. I think it's a credit to, I can't say the program, because the coach is the builder of the program. But for them individually bringing it together, I get very cynical about college sports. I thought that that was a great game played by them. I thought they played their asses off the best they could. Michigan State's just a great program, an historically great program, with historically great college basketball players who play at a historically great level. And they lost to a great team. They didn't lose to anything, any slouch. They didn't lose to any mid-major. They lost to Michigan State. Michigan State's a good, strong program with a great college basketball coach. Watching some of the other games, I was surprised with UNC the way that they fell apart. Roy Williams will get a ton of hell because, of course, they always question Roy Williams' sets. They always question Roy Williams' game plan and whether or not he just throws guys out there. I think that some of that is hogwash. I think most of that is hogwash. Some of that can be criticism, but I will turn around and I'll give Auburn credit. But when the cynicism comes around, I will still wonder, because it's the first time since 1986 that Auburn has been to the Elite Eight. They have Bruce Pearl as a head coach. I'm sorry, I have to let that one air out a little bit. You might hate me for that, but that's the truth. But watching last night and going into this game, he's already here. Our next LeBron is here. And I know our next LeBron is here because the new LeBrons, the LeBron Jameses, the Michael Jordans of the world, the icons, they're not born. They're created. And he's already here. You look across the NBA, you look at some of the great players in the NBA, LeBron is, 16 years into this league? You see some of the greats, James Harden is getting ready to compete for the MVP, and whether or not that he's actually going to win the MVP, it's a toss-up between him and Giannis, depending on what you thought of the other night. Maybe Giannis has the upper hand. I do believe that head-to-head matchups should matter. I do believe that standings in the standings should matter. What a guy does for an organization. Can Houston have an opportunity to win without James Harden? Debatable. Can Milwaukee have a chance to win without Giannis? I don't think there's a chance in hell. However, you look at a guy like James Harden and you think about some of the guys other than him who are in the NBA right now, and I'm going to blow way past it. It's going to be okay there, Tom. You look at a guy like James Harden and the other guys in the NBA. They can't be the next LeBron because we won't let them be. The next LeBron plays for Duke University. The next LeBron is the next LeBron because we've made him the next LeBron. Guys in the league right now, James Harden, he's aloof. He's a star, but he's not a star. He's quieter in a lot of ways. He does commercials, doesn't do a ton of them, but does commercials, is a great basketball player. But on that other side of things, it's shaky. Giannis, don't take this the wrong way. This is still America. Giannis is a great basketball player and a great story. He's the Greek freak. We love American stories. Giannis' story is inherently American, but we love guys who are from Chicago and they grow up and they play on the dirt streets. They play out there. They play whenever they possibly can. We like guys from Detroit who played at St. Cecilia's gym. We like guys from New York. We like guys from Akron, Ohio who played up on the school grounds. Those are the guys we like. Giannis, he has a very strong following. It is a worldwide following. It's a European following. But there is a reason why there are strong soccer fans who like Cristiano Ronaldo here and Lionel Messi here. He's not the end-all be-all here. And I think Giannis falls into that category, even though he could very well be the MVP. And I would love him to be the MVP. And I would love him to be able to lead a injury-ravaged Milwaukee Bucks team to an NBA title over the Golden State Warriors. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love it for it to happen. But I can't see him as that next global icon from the NBA. Russell Westbrook's great, but he's just not nice. In a lot of words, he's a jerk. I love Russell Westbrook. I know he's not a nice guy. He's just not nice enough to be that guy. Steph Curry, already over his 30s, not dominant enough. We still, as much as we talk about three-pointers, we like dunks like we like home runs. And he's not a dunk guy. And he'll never be a threat as a dunk guy. That's not who he is. He's a great shooter. Sam Jones was a great shooter, too. Kevin Durant, 12 years into the league, almost the same generation, basically, as LeBron. And after the leaving of Oklahoma City, after the way that he's acted towards the media, that he doesn't want to do a whole lot of things, not even close. Kawhi, too quiet. Anthony Davis, while his stats are great, I think it's more of a disappointment. He was supposed to be the next one. Joel Embiid, too often injured. Then I look at Zion Williamson. Dunk threat, highlights, things that excite people, things that get people off their seat, a likability factor where I've seen so many Duke players who are incredible players, none of them are liked by the general public. There is a strong line, a wall between Duke fans and the rest of America. And those players have been liked by Duke fans before, but they've been hated by the rest of America. People like Zion Williamson. People like to watch Zion Williamson. Offered when he's in ninth grade. Still went to a Wofford game just as a nicety there. Coach said it felt like John Lennon walked into the gym. Has a Nike contract waiting on him. Will be the number one overall pick. The body of a god that should only get better as long as he works on him. The effect of what he does with social media. He's doubled college basketball ratings. He is strong. He has a very strong fan base. And he's nice. And people like him. He has an effect where you look at a guy like LeBron. LeBron has bad days, and if LeBron's ever in the streets, you can't get to LeBron. He has a swarm of bodyguards around him. But when you see LeBron on television, in movies, in television, and in commercials, you think that he's an approachable guy. You see Zion Williamson, he's an approachable guy. And this is why I draw so much ire from people who want to pay the players because they use Zion Williamson as their great big billboard for it. And it's the stupidest argument you could possibly make. Zion Williamson could have went to China. He could have went to Europe. He could have played in the G. He could eventually play in the G League if he wants to. Here soon they will be able to do that. Zion Williamson went to Duke. He invested in himself. The cameras are brighter at Duke. The history is longer at Duke. It is a major, major university, and he made Duke basketball likable and cool to everybody who's not a Duke fan. Instead of country club, instead of we're better than you, Duke basketball, at least for this year, has become the cool thing. People want to be a part of it. For the first time, the regular ones out there, whether you're in New Mexico, whether you're in LA, whether you're in Seattle, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Akron, Ohio, doesn't matter. Duke is cooler than UNC. It's never been that way. Zion Williamson made it that way. We love these guys. And for all these other great basketball players, they're great basketball players. Zion, if he even comes close, because of our love affair with him, because of how nice he is to us, and I'm talking about media, we will create him. We will put him on the pedestal. He is here. 16 years, LeBron is here. He will probably be here another 3, maybe 4 if we're lucky. He will bid adieu. And in comes Zion Williamson, and away we go to the next generation. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
All those guests on the hotline, we got a couple of them today. Of course, 12:20 p.m. Eastern, we'll do five burning questions. What did I want you to ask me about, Tom? What the hell was it?
Did you make a request this week?
No, I thought I did, and now I got to look over it, because I meant to text you, and even though I talked to you all week long, I forgot, and now it's all going to go to hell. Well, you know, if it doesn't get it done, it doesn't get done. What are you going to do? We have five burning questions at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. Also, at high noon, right? Ken Pomeroy going to join us. KenPom.com and The Athletic. Talk some college hoops with him. Talk about Coach K, whether or not Zion Williamson from Duke really is the next LeBron James. And then at 1:20 p.m. Eastern, Ben Ryder going to join us. Sports Illustrated senior writer, author of Astro Ball. We'll talk baseball with him because at 1 p.m. Eastern, get your Sharpies out. Now, I don't think that anybody gives a damn, but I did it because according to Tom and according to Brian and everybody else, people really do give a damn. We have Major League Baseball predictions. I go through all the divisions. I go through the wild card. We get a World Series winner. We pick the amount of games, and then we give you the MVPs. We give you the Cy Youngs. Rookie of the Year, whatever. But I give you the Cy Youngs, and I give you the MVPs. Hopefully, I get it right. Usually, I get it really, really wrong. But it's not nearly as bad as the college football preview, which we will be doing in the late summer. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, fans can freak out. Coaches can't.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you can save money. Go Geico. You need homeowners, you need renters, you need motorcycle insurance too. You get it all in one fell swoop. Geico.com. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. See, everybody watched that movie about Queen, and everybody wants to sing We Are the Champions. Deep tracks, baby. This isn't even a deep track. There's so many much better songs that Queen has other than We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, that thing. Bicycle? Fat Bottom Girls? Come on. Killer Queen? Tom, you know what I'm talking about, baby.
Crazy
you have
little
absolute
thing called
Thank
love.
Thank you. Yes!
Don't
My
stop
God.
Me now.
Yes! McKeon! I'm proud of you both. See, we're not going to get this when Billy Jack comes in. He's just going to tell us about the whole Seth Rich thing. That coming up at noon Eastern. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Fans, you can freak out. You're allowed to do it. Coaches aren't. I guess, and what bothered me earlier this week, it wasn't just, listen, I don't care about long games. I don't. I think it's something that we need to mention because people always bust the stones of baseball about long games. Oh, my God, they're up to 3 hours and 17 minutes. Well, you're not going to go to any more baseball games just because it's 3 hours. I had one guy call in and said he did it. I'm sorry. I just disbelieve him. I don't believe that you're going to pick up the phone and or get online, I should say, and purchase tickets to a Major League Baseball game because they can get you in and out of there in under 3 hours instead of 3 hours and 17. I just don't believe you. You need star power. You need people who people want to go see. And I know that with the NFL, and because it's once a week, and they have stars that even though, God, they wear helmets and they wear visors, people want to see them. People know who they are. They're just down with the cause, man. And the NFL can basically do whatever it wants in a good fashion, sometimes in a disgusting fashion. When we talk about some of the things that NFL players have been accused of and have been found guilty of in the past, but the NFL does basically what it wants. And the NFL is going to do what it wants here. And they gave you what you think you want, but I don't know if you really want it. And I'm not going to give you the typical argument of, well, the games are going to run too long. No, that's not it, because you don't care. Game runs 3 hours and 30 minutes on a Sunday. You don't care. You say you might. I don't think you do. It's once a week, 17 times a year, 17 weeks a year, 16 times for your favorite team. I really just don't think you give a damn. But there is a downside to this. And the reason why I might be upset, and because any length of games or anything like that, it's because basically a good football coach failed and he gets away with it. Bill Belichick pulls Malcolm Butler, loses the Super Bowl. It was a storyline for the next year. Sean Payton loses an NFC championship game. He is given full immunity. He is given a full pass on his failure. And what bothers you, what should bother you the most out of all this, is that we changed the game based on one guy and his belly aching. Good for him. Good for what he wants. Good for him and the narrative he's creating. He's politicized it. He's made it well. And I didn't realize just how much power Sean Payton has. Sean Payton has a ton of power. Well, being a head coach for a long time, I knew he would have a lot of power. I didn't know he'd have the power to get owners together and to change a rule on pass interference and whether or not you can throw flags or throw challenge flags on pass interference, or better yet, what you think could be pass interference. And I keep hearing, well, Ken, it's the final 2 minutes of the game that goes to the booth and everything like that. Yeah, good luck on a Hail Mary not finding any sort of pass interference. And then I get the rule sticklers who come after me. The same people who feel that 36 and a 35 is speeding. Okay, well, when it happens to your team on a Hail Mary, when you're just trying to get out of there, because pass interference is going to happen on a Hail Mary every single time, including Super Bowl 52, it's going to happen every single time, then don't come to me belly aching because this rule is put in. And basically, this rule is put in because a coach failed. Fans can complain. Coaches can't. Fans, when Saints fans called up after that game and they were moaning and they were complaining, yeah, you felt robbed and you were robbed. You're allowed to feel robbed. You're a fan. We are not in control. As a commentator, as a fan, I am in control of absolutely nothing. So when I watch my favorite team on a Sunday and I feel they've been hoodwinked, bamboozled by one of the guys in the stripes, I'm going to call up and I'm going to bitch and I'm going to be upset and I'm going to blame it on the refs and I'll accuse them of being on the take. I'll accuse them because now Tim Donaghy has certainly legitimized everything. I'll accuse them of going against my team, hating my favorite team. And in some cases, hey, I can't say you're altogether wrong. I've said this about the Browns. I've said this about the Raiders. I've said this about a couple other teams. I think it's only natural in a person's head, even though you're supposed to call it down the line. When the Raiders line up on Sunday, you expect them to lose. When the Browns have lined up on Sunday for the last 20 years, you expect them to lose. You as a fan expect them to lose. You hope for a win if you're a fan of either one of those teams, but you expect them to lose. Refs are human too. So if there's any bit of a question, you can't tell me that if a team that is expected to lose has something questionable, you can't tell me it's just going to go their way. It always goes against them. If a guy has been committing DUI, breaking and entering, robbing stores, petty theft, has just been a mole that's growing bigger and bigger, a wart, I should say, on the ass of society for 20 years, and he finds himself in a situation where he really did not do what he's supposed to do, good luck getting away with that. We do it in our justice system. We do it in our sports. So if a fan wants to be upset, fans are allowed to be upset. You're a fan, you're allowed to be upset. If you're a Saints fan and you called up that day and you were fit to be tied, you're absolutely more than welcome to be upset about that. However, when you have what's gone on with Sean Payton and you've had what's gone on with these calls and what's gone on with this, I feel a guy who's been a great head coach in his career has found himself a scapegoat and something perfect that he could blame it on himself, that he could blame it on somebody else and not himself, which is supposed to be blamed on. NFC Championship game. At home, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The one full place, one of the few places, a couple other places have them, but one of the few places where you have a true home field advantage. It's loud. It's hard to hear. You're in a dome. You got 80,000 people there. They're all Saints fans. That call is what threw you off? That call is what lost you a chance to win a Super Bowl? That's the call that did it. Really? You allowed that to happen in your own stadium? Yes, it was a terrible non-call. It should have been called. It absolutely should have went the other way. That's all not up for debate. You know what you also should have done? You also probably should have cashed in on a touchdown with one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL this year when you got an interception in the first quarter at the 16-yard line of the LA Rams, which no one wants to talk about. You also should have been able to rally your troops and get everybody together and say, we're in our own building. The fans are with us. They're going to be loud as hell if they get the ball. We have Drew Brees, who's a legendary Hall of Famer as our quarterback. We know where we're going. Let's go there. Nope. You let that non-call freak you out like you were a first-year high school coach, and then you lost in overtime. The refs didn't make Drew Brees throw an interception in overtime. The refs didn't make Sean Payton have some of the calls that he made in overtime and some of the calls that he made throughout the game, including the first quarter. The refs didn't dictate that. Sean Payton did. The Saints did. But because they weren't able to do what they were supposed to do, which was win a game at home in the Superdome with one of the final home field advantages that you can find. Because he wasn't able to do that, now we have a rule change. I don't know whether to bitch or have congratulations to Sean Payton. Because I knew that he was a powerful coach. I didn't realize he was this powerful. It's the perfect scenario. The Rams didn't go and win the Super Bowl. The Patriots did. So it wasn't like they got the ring that you didn't. You're cost a chance with Drew Brees. There's only so many chances you have left. He's approaching 40. That part sucks. But when you really break it down, you get the rule change that you want. Nobody blames you for your failure. And let me underline that word, failure, in overtime. Nobody blames you for that. And the Rams didn't go on to win the Super Bowl. Where's the loss for Sean Payton other than the game? I didn't realize it. I knew that he was a powerful guy. I didn't realize that. And the rule in itself, we'll make a big deal of it the first couple of weeks. It's going to cost somebody a game, and that'll be a major talking point. But like anything else, it'll probably iron itself out. Like the whole quarterback, the entire controversy of roughing the passer last year with Clay Matthews. It eventually irons itself out. It'll be a talking point. We'll complain and we'll moan and we'll say that it's ruining football, this, that, and the other. And maybe eventually some people will start to see my side. But overall, just for the truth of the matter, I'm not letting it go. Fans, you can be upset. You're powerless. I'm powerless. We have nothing to do with game planning. We have nothing to do with beating a defense, unlocking a defense as the game goes on. We have nothing to do with that. The only thing that we can do is cheer and hope and pray that the thing we hold dear ends up winning it out. I will not blame a single fan for cussing. I will not blame a single fan for coming after me. I will not blame a single fan for thinking that they lost because of the refs. But the truth is, you had Drew Brees, you had overtime, you're in your own barn. Spare me the silliness of thinking that you lost because of the refs. You didn't lose because of the refs. And when Sean Payton goes out there in the postgame press conference and yells about the refs and continues to yell about the refs and continues to bellyache and moan and cry and whine about referees and about the non-call and about how that cost him, I can only look at what happened in that game and looked at the opportunity that you had to get out to a 21-0 lead and look at the opportunity that you still had in overtime that you didn't take advantage of it. Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame quarterback, home field advantage. You didn't get it done. Wasn't on the refs. It was on you. But you still got your way. Congratulations. Up next, the greatest ever. They aren't measured by stats alone. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.